What do you do when someone doesn't speak your language? What you do is you talk louder. You say, excuse me, do you speak English? And the person says, Ani lo mevin. And you say, do you speak English? As though volume will make up for the fact that you don't actually understand each other. And we use this technique not just with foreign language speakers, but with the foreign language speakers we have in our own homes who are called children. We say, don't eat with your hands, and they continue to eat with their hands. So we say, don't eat with your hands, because volume makes up for the fact that we're not communicating. What I want to suggest to you is that a lot of communication has to do not with the volume of the speaker, but with the skills of the listener. And my evidence for that is the very first word of the third book of the Bible that we read this morning. First, we read Bereshit, the first book of the Bible. And there, God makes the world. The second book of the Bible, Shemot, is where God responds to the cries of human beings. That is, first we are formed and then we are free. And even though there's a great deal more in both of those books than just formation and freedom, overall, those are the themes of the book. And now, Vayikra, which means, and he called. Having been formed and free, now we have to learn to listen. Now we have to learn response. And anyone who reads these books of the Bible comes up with the same question that the youngest child will ask of her teacher or her rabbi, which is, does God still talk to us? How come they heard God and we don't hear God? Why is it that Moses is walking along and all of a sudden he hears a voice in a bush, whereas I hike in the Santa Monica Mountains and I hear nothing? Why is that? So I want to call your attention, first of all, to the very word Vayikra. The way that it is written in the Torah, in your Chumash, if you wish to look at it afterwards, the last letter of the word, the Aleph, is tiny. Why is that? Now, as you can imagine, since it's very rare for the orthography, for the writing of the Torah to be so different that one letter is tiny where all the others are normal size, the rabbis give all sorts of explanations for this anomaly, for this peculiarity, for the fact that the Aleph is so small. But I want to interpret that Aleph based on the story of the man that we will all be looking for in 2 weeks. Who are you going to open the door for?
Elijah.
Elijah. And I want to tell you just a small piece of Elijah's story to remind us who Elijah is and what he has to say about that Aleph. Remember that Elijah fights against Jezebel and the priests of Baal. And he stages this grand experiment to show that God is really God. And the experiment works. Elijah offers a sacrifice to God, and a giant fire comes out of the sky and consumes the sacrifice, and everybody's impressed, but not so much Jezebel. Her reaction to this demonstration is to wish Elijah dead. She wants to kill him, so he runs away. And the point of Elijah's story that is relevant to us this morning is what happens when he runs away. He comes to Mount Carmel, and there he stands on the mountain. And I'm going to read you the words from Melachim, the words from Kings. It says, "And the Lord passed by, and there was a great and a mighty wind, splitting the mountain and shattering rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And then there was a kol demama daka." Now that phrase, a kol demama daka, is famously translated by the King James Version of the Bible and has come into English as a still small voice, which is a good translation, but there's a better one. By the French Jewish Bible scholar André Neher, he points out that really, kol demama daka shouldn't be translated as a still small voice. A devar domeim in Hebrew is an inanimate object. A kol demama daka, he says, should be translated as the thin voice of silence. God is in the silence, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, not in the wind, not in the splitting rocks, but in the silence. To make a full circle, I will tell you that there is a mystical tradition that of all the letters and all the words in the Torah, God spoke only one directly. One letter, the first letter of the Ten Commandments. What is the first letter of the Ten Commandments? Right up there. An aleph. And what sound does an aleph make? No sound at all. In other words, God was in the silence. And if you think that can't be, though, because we know when prophets hear God, it is this shattering, overwhelming thing. Remember the story of Samuel. Samuel is young. He's never experienced God's voice. And one night, Samuel lies down and he hears someone saying, "Samuel, Samuel." And so he runs to Eli, the high priest, and he says, "Here I am. You called me." And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." He goes back to sleep and he hears Samuel. And he runs back to Eli and he says, "I'm here. I heard you call." And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." And finally, Eli realizes what's happening. And he says to him, "If you hear your voice called again, say, 'Here I am, Lord.'" And that's when Samuel becomes a prophet. It wasn't a shattering, overwhelming experience. He's lying alone in his bed and he hears something in the silence. He hears something in the aleph. He hears something in the kol demama daka. When children ask, "Why don't we hear God anymore?" what they expect is that the voice of God will reach them like the voice of the television reaches them, or the voice of their parent reaches them. But who among us believes that God would sound the same as we do? We live in a world in which there's very little silence. You go into your car, the phone rings, you turn on the radio, you walk into a store, there's always music playing. You come home, there's a television, there's a voice from a computer, there are beeps and buzzes and rings everywhere we turn. And yet, Vayikra, God calls in the aleph, in the silence. But to hear God in the silence, you have to have a tuning fork in your soul. You have to be able to register the vibrations of the cosmos. In other words, you have to be able to listen, to shut yourself down for a moment, to quiet, to be still, to hear what God says to you when words are not being spoken. Vayikra, God calls. At the Pesach Seder this year, I know we'll all sing and we'll all celebrate. But I hope you'll also have a moment of quiet, of calm, of silence, where inside yourself, you just might hear the voice of God. Shabbat Shalom.